let's double your business revenue. How? Arian helps you save time and money by helping you through your employment challenges. A recent study revealed that organizations like Arian can help you double your revenue by handling your HR tasks like payroll, benefits, onboarding, and compliance. With Arian as your HR partner, you'll also experience more productivity, better benefits, and mitigated risk, all while doing what you love to do, your business. Start increasing your revenue. Visit AURION.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour, broadcasting from the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives, which is taking place in the capital city of Iowa in Des Moines. With me from the Knoxville, Tennessee Chamber is Doug Minter. He's the Director of Small Business Development there. And this is an appropriate opportunity to talk about small business, but also a session that he just participated in and keynoted on diversity and inclusion in chambers of commerce. Doug, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here, man.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
Talk to us a little bit about the program, the presentation that you just did, as it pertains to chambers of commerce, small businesses across the United States.
Well, I think in a nutshell, what we talked about today was how do chambers engage their local communities? What are the strategies and programs that people have used to engage their local communities? And one of our programs was called the CEO Summits program. And that was engaging CEOs to have fireside chats about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And a lot of times you can't get CEOs in a room to get them, hundreds of CEOs in a room. And a lot of times that doesn't give you the real meat and potatoes that you need. So we had these smaller CEO summits of 5 to 6 CEOs and talked to them about diversity and inclusion and talked to them about two simple things. What's a success story and what's keeping you up at night? And that has benefited us so well at our chamber.
Can you share maybe a tidbit of that as far as, what success have you seen and maybe a nightmare?
Yeah, so here's a good success story. So Children's Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee, started training all of its nurses to speak Spanish, every single nurse. Conversational Spanish. So they weren't trying to make them fluent, just conversational. And the customer feedback was huge from our Hispanic community, right? So that's a success story. So that's one of the things that one of our CEOs at Children's Hospital said to us.
And how important is that, Doug?
Well, it's critical.
Because
they're
dealing with kids.
Yes. Yes.
And parents that are worried.
Right. And the thing that you want to do is going to the hospital is an emotional deal. So anything that you can do to ease that emotion, the anxiety, the stress level, especially of children as they're going into the hospital. And if you can do that with language, especially someone who doesn't speak the language, or with their parents and ease their anxiety and ease their comfort and know that they're welcomed, that's huge.
And a nightmare story?
Let's see. One of the nightmares is the big R's, right? Not Republican, but the big R of recruiting and retention.
Oh boy,
CEO, especially when you're at near zero unemployment, every CEO has said to us they're either having an issue on the recruiting side
or the retention side,
or they're having an issue on the retention side, and the retention side is really becoming difficult,
and
especially retaining young professionals.
Let me share a couple of statistics for you about the Des Moines Metro.
Okay,
all right. Unemployment here, probably like it is in Knoxville, Tennessee, is very low. I mean, our unemployment rate here in the metro is like 2.8%. It's just silly.
Right.
Now, at the same time, Doug, the unemployment rate in the African American community is running at about 15%.
Yes.
The unemployment rate in the Latino community is a little better at 9%. But so that becomes, I think, a critical issue for us to have a conversation about. Is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because here's the deal. If you are a city leader, you're a CEO, you're a mayor, you're in leadership of any type, and someone asks you about your city, one of the things I challenge our CEOs and our leadership is we should measure ourselves not by how we beat someone else. We're number one in this, we're number three in this, we're number four in this, we're that. But measure yourself by your problems. How much did we improve this problem is how we should measure ourselves. You know, our CEO of our chamber asked me a question. He said, you know, I think we need to stop ranking the top schools by how many people get SAT scores and ACT scores or GPAs and start measuring ourselves by our ability to be able to improve literacy with those people that are on free and reduced lunch. That's how we should measure who the best schools are. And I think that we need to use that same philosophy to measure cities and communities is look at the unemployment rate for African Americans, look at the unemployment rate for Hispanics, look at how we treat persons with disabilities, look at all of those subgroups and say, this is how we're going to measure whether your city's good or not.
That's earth-shattering.
And your ability to change the quality of life for those people is how we should measure whether you're a great city or not. And if we flip the scale and do that, then I think we get to a place where we start treating people like human beings, we become more welcoming, and we become more great cities.
And that takes a real shift in thinking. Yeah, you're nodding your head.
Yes, big time.
It does,
and that's not a popular shift.
How do you get there?
Well, I think
do you first acknowledge
to me. To me, I think whenever you're making that shift, I think, and this is, and you saw some of the disagreement a little bit in our session, is this word minority, right? Say what we are. Call me by my name, right? Don't call me anything else but my name. I'm African American. Refer to me as that. I'm not a minority.
Because that starts to shrink your standing.
Exactly. And it shrinks. Psychologically, it's very damaging.
Yeah.
I understand we have to use it, you know, tactically and strategically because that's the way the government is using those terms. But remember, we've had other terms. We've had other labels. So as we progress as a country, these labels and terms that were used are transitory. We got to use different terms. We got to keep progressing. And now is the time for us to progress. We have to get to the point where, one, ultimately, none of these labels are needed, right? The only reason we say the word inclusion, right?
It's because we're not.
It's because somebody was excluded.
Exactly.
But when we stop excluding, we don't even need to use the word inclusion. Right? And so at some point, we have to get into the DNA and get simple. I'm not a minority, and I don't want you to hide. I don't want the needs of others to supersede my needs when you're not addressing me by my name.
It's an amazing conversation that we're having. His name is Doug Minter, and Doug is from the Knoxville, Tennessee Chamber. He's in charge of small business development there. What, I have no idea what that means. It must be lunchtime, Doug.
Yep.
You're kind of hungry, right?
Yep.
Let me ask a final question. One of the things that we've talked to the Latino community, the African-American community, as a white person, let's just call it what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ask the question, how can we as a chamber, how can we as an organization be helpful? And you know what they tell us every single time? Show up. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that has been traditional in this country is to give money, right? Somebody's in need, you write a check, you sponsor an event, give a scholarship. And I think what that statement is saying is, yes, we need resources, absolutely, appreciate those resources. But I think what we appreciate more is having relationship. And because from that relationship, you know how to give, you know when to give, and it's more authentic, right? And sometimes what we need is not cash. Sometimes we just need access to the network. And it's really important to build relationships, because that's how you sustain the quality of life of another group. And that's how that group can then, you benefit too. So it's not just this one way transfer of wealth or resources or things. This is how you can increase your quality of life.
Well,
all of us.
That is such a great point. And when you write a check, sometimes you can then dismiss the issue because
absolutely,
I have helped. I'm invested in whatever this is. However, many times if you show up, you become really personally invested and create that relationship.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. I wish you well. Thank you so much, Doug, for coming by and visiting with us. That was an impactful session. I said one question, but I've got to follow up with another one, because I heard a question in there that I think resonates strongly, and it was about women and minority status.
Yes.
Of women. For example, here in Iowa, we have a special relationship with the state buying from minority-owned businesses. Minority-owned businesses translates into women. And Iowa, by the way, has a horrible reputation of being assistive there.
Right.
But that conversation was very interesting from the standpoint of, if you are a female entrepreneur who is white, you have a leg up, maybe?
A little bit.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. The plight of women in this country is a big deal, right? The Me Too movement has shown that, you know, women have made less money. They've been impoverished. They've been abused and marginalized. Okay, so they have been marginalized, just like African Americans, Hispanic-owned companies, and other people of color. The issue becomes, the reason why it bothers me to not call me by my name. Again, if I'm a female, that's what I am. But I'm also a business owner, blah, 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 right? I'm African-American, blah, 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 blah. The key issue is you have to look at it from an ecosystem standpoint, and that's where we have to progress. We have to get to this place that's going to be a marathon to get there, but we have to get to this place where the labels don't matter anymore. Where you're welcomed, whether you're female, whether you're LGBT, whether you're black, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Asian, it doesn't matter. You're welcomed everywhere you go. The only place I've seen that happen in community is in Canada. And it's a beautiful thing, but they are still having issues. They still, like us, on the procurement side of the house, is where this really gets tough, is when the government's giving out, both in the private and public sector, we have to step up. We have to step up because the government is slow to move. It's a bus versus a Volkswagen. So I think chambers to address this have to go more into the private sector and say we need more opportunities. So there's more opportunities than the labels restrict us.
Would you agree, Doug? I'm sorry. This is a tough one. Would you agree that one of the ways to have equalization in business and community is an economic opportunity, especially for individuals of color? If I can start a business and be supported by the majority culture, then I got a shot.
And this is where the word equity has to be brought into bear. Equity allows equality to express itself. I'm going to say that again for your listeners. equity allows equality to express itself. There was a young lady that mentioned, you know, the situations with Hispanic businesses. Well, Hispanic businesses have a different set of barriers than African-American businesses, than maybe Asian businesses, than maybe woman-owned companies. Those barriers are different, and equity says, let me address you at your barrier level, not equally, but equitably. And equity tends to fix all of the issues that we have created. And so we have to get educated on what is equity for African Americans, and am I in relationship with them at a place that recognizes that equity?
We are going to leave it there because that's the most powerful thing I've heard. Doug Minter, ladies and gentlemen, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, thanks for stopping by the Business News Hour.
My honor. We'll be right back.